So you may have started noticing that there's some strange tall boys of beer in the bottled water section of your local stores. Well, it's not actually beer. It's mountain spring water from the Alps, and it's called Liquid Death. Why is this water called Liquid Death? Well, because it will brutally murder your thirst, and their infinitely recyclable tall boy cans are helping to bring death to plastic bottles. They'll also donate 10% of the profits from every can sold to help kill plastic pollution. See, what you may not know is that most plastic isn't actually recyclable anymore, and the plastic you throw in a recycling bin actually just gets sent to a landfill because it's not profitable to recycle. Aluminum is infinitely recyclable and actually profitable for recycling facilities. So go get Liquid Death at your local Woodman's, 7-Eleven, Roundy's, or Hy-Vee, or find a Liquid Death retailer near you with our store locator tool at liquiddeath.com/packaday, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y. That's liquiddeath.com/packaday.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Packaday Podcast, the Thursday edition of the Packaday Podcast. I am one half of your crew, Jason Perrone. You can also find me over at Game On Wisconsin. I do the Quick Slants Podcast every Monday. With me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, it's Thursday. By the time we do our show, we have the advantage of having had three and a half days to come down off of a victory or a loss. So I'm assuming you're in Thursday mode.
Yeah, but I'm still not. I don't know. You asked me this last week, was I over the Giants loss? And I said, yeah, I was. I don't know if I'm over this one yet.
It was bad.
Like I said to you when we were getting ready for the show, in my mind, this is the worst game they've played in the Matt LaFleur era. I know they got blown out by the 49ers. Tampa beat them pretty good. They had that awful opener against the Saints last year. But the openers I throw out because they're openers and it's preseason. You know, they don't play in preseason anymore. You know, San Francisco, pretty good team. And I'll again. Talk to me in 10 weeks or so, and maybe I'll say, hey, the Jets are really good too. But I think the Jets are much improved. I give their coaching staff a lot of credit. They had an outstanding draft. They had the best draft. I said that after this past draft, that I thought the Jets had a draft for the ages. I thought that this draft is going to turn the Jets into a good team eventually. I didn't think it would happen this soon. But you saw it. I mean, Sauce Gardner is a star. He's going to be defensive rookie of the year. I told you that the day of the draft. Brees Hall's a pretty good running back. Wilson's a good receiver. Alexander did a great job on him, but he's a good receiver. The one kid didn't play, the defensive end. Well, I can't think of his name. Jermaine Johnson, but he's a good player. They had a wonderful draft, and they had actually two in a row that had been pretty good. So the Jets are getting better, but there's still no excuse for them to come into Lambeau Field and beat the Packers by 17 points. There's just no excuse.
Yeah, we had another special teams meltdown. We'll talk about
a couple.
Yeah, they once again, it's another. I mean, have they had a field goal and a punt blocked in two games? The playoff game was the last time that happened, right? Because they've had kicks blocked, but not both in one game.
Well, I read a thing where that's the first time that's ever happened in a regular season to anybody in like whatever many years. And I'm like, happens to the Packers every seven games or so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, once again, it reared its ugly head. So we'll talk about special teams.
But it was getting better, you know?
Yeah, it was. Well, we'll talk about special teams as an extension of the defense as we get into that. But as you said and I said, as we were kind of talking beforehand, we realized that we didn't do weather last week. And so
I think we jinxed them.
We might have jinxed it, right? So we will definitely start with weather. We're going to end on the East Coast where the game will be played this weekend. The Packers head to Washington to take on the Commanders. So we'll end with Myrtle Beach, Mark, and Washington last. So let's start in Green Bay where it is 51 degrees for a high, partly sunny, and 34 degrees for the low. I think that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem too outlandish this time of year. And then our friend Isaac Hanks in Hampshire, Illinois is back. He had a vacation in Florida. I'm sure he's missing being in Florida. It's a little chillier in Hampshire. So temperatures hovering in the low 30s, but they'll be back up to the mid 70s by the weekend, and then he says this marks their Indian summer, which is defined. I always love his definition because he's a meteorologist. So we all know the term Indian summer. It's defined by the first day of 70 degrees following the first frost. So they're getting that over there. Okay. And then moving over west, we're already to me in the Phoenix area where it is 88 degrees and sunny, 61 for the low. It's this time of year we're starting to get a little bit of relief at night. The air conditioning doesn't have to run as much during the day, which is nice. One of my ACs went out this past week, and thank God it happened this week and not 2 weeks from now, because 2 weeks from now, the ACs pretty much go away. And oh, okay. You wouldn't even know that you had a problem until next spring when you go to turn it on. So
when it gets going, yeah, right.
It's a very expensive ticket, but I'm glad I got it taken care of now instead of then. And then our friend Harry over in Kamloops, Canada, Thursday will likely be the last warm day of the year. High of 61, low of 45. Showers in the forecast. He said his house is getting sunshine from 8:30 to 2:30. He'll only have about 4 or 5 more weeks of direct sun. And then we're back in that whole, like, he doesn't get sunlight directly on his property. Crazy.
Wow.
Absolutely crazy. It's crazy to think about. I love some of these stories about where everybody lives. And then now we swing around to Europe. And our friend Robin over in Oslo, Norway, something sunnier than the last two Packers game. He said today was 8 Celsius, which is 46 Fahrenheit, nothing but blue skies. A great day for hiking from Robin. And then our friend in Germany, Felix, says that another weather report from Offenburg, Southwest Germany, typical mid-October conditions, cloudy, very foggy. Up to 69 degrees Fahrenheit, but most of the time they're closer to the low of 51 degrees. So, not too bad.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. And then that brings us stateside. So, we'll do you, and then we'll do where the Packers are playing in D.C. So, how are things looking at the beach, Myrtle Beach?
Getting a little cool. It's going to warm up again by the weekend, but Wednesday was... It's funny, I woke up this morning, and my wife says to me, "It's cold out." And I said, "What do you mean, cold? How cold?" He says, "I don't know. I took the dog out, and it was cold." So I looked on. We had a thing with, you know, it was 41 this morning, which for here is cold. 41, that's cold.
Yeah.
It got to 60, but that's where it stopped today. 60 was the high. And Thursday is supposed to be about a little warmer, maybe like 62, 63. Then at night, it's going to be, you know, back down again. But then by Friday, it's going to be back in the 70s and be nice again. But this is a little bit of a... For here, a little bit of a cold spell.
A little bit of a chill. Yeah, geez, that's a little chilly there, too. Yeah,
41's cold for here.
Yeah, we get that, but that's more of like December, January in the Phoenix area.
It goes that low, huh? Okay.
That's like the low of the low in Phenix. Right. So I wish, hopefully, we do a show that late in the year where I can actually explain right. What that weather is. That would be a good thing.
We do shows all we do them. We're 365 here.
That's true. I forget about that. Sometimes I wish we didn't. But all right. And then in Washington D.C., where the Packers will play their game, I guess the Thursday weather is 61 degrees. The game day weather is a chance of showers 30%, 64 degrees in the D.C. area.
That's not bad for this time of year in D.C.
No, it's not bad. That's not bad at all. So. At least the weather's looking up a little bit. So as we turn our conversation to the Packers, I guess we'll sprinkle in a little bit of Jets talk, a little bit of Commanders talk, and I don't know if you want to even address, since you spent so much time in Philadelphia, all this nonsense and craziness that's going on with the owner of the Commanders. But on the injury report, real quickly here, no surprises. From Wednesday's injury report, we don't have Thursday's yet because we're recording late on Wednesday, but no surprise, David Bakhtiari limited. Randall Cobb did not practice, has not been placed on injured reserve. Rashawn Gary, full practice despite his toe injury. Jake Hansen had the biceps, he didn't practice. Elton Jenkins was limited with his knee. Aaron Rodgers didn't practice right thumb. You assume that's planned. And then Christian Watson, hamstring, did not practice on Wednesday. So, don't know if the Packers are planning on making any moves or not making any moves. They picked up a tackle earlier in the week to fortify their depth chart, which would lead us to believe that I think Jake Hansen's probably going to miss a significant amount of time or maybe even go on an injured reserve.
Yeah, I got to think so, right?
Was it a bicep tear?
It must not be a full tear. They would have. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But you got to think they're not going to keep 11 offensive linemen active again, right? That's just.
I don't think so.
That makes sense.
Well, they've got a lot. Well, there's a lot of needs on this team. The offensive line is definitely one of those areas that needs a definite shot in the booty. But
All they got to do is put the right people out there, and they'll be okay.
Yeah, and I wish that's one of the reasons why we were talking beforehand. We almost wish we were the offense because there's so much to talk about. Versus the defense. On the Washington side, most of the players that are on the injury report are backups. Logan Thomas was listed, but he doesn't have a practice designation from Wednesday, as well as Jahan Dotson. No practice designation from Wednesday. Everybody else is a backup, except for Carson Wentz. But Carson Wentz is not playing. It's going to be Taylor Heinicke who's going to get the start. And the Packers are familiar with him. They faced him last year at Lambeau. When Washington came to town, one note of interest on defense, Preston Smith missed his first regular season game of his entire career. Unfortunately, it was against his old team last year. Well, he will be, as far as we know, active on Sunday. He'll get a chance to play against them in Washington.
Yes, you will.
And they're gonna need him because this is one of those games where the defense can get very right and very healthy against a very porous Washington offensive line.
Right. Let me just add one other note about practice. Sammy Watkins, who's on injury reserve, his window opened
this
where
week.
He's allowed to practice, and he did today. So I'm not saying I don't know if they're going to act. The Packers usually give a guy a week. Like Kylan Hill practiced the last week but was not activated. So I'm hoping Hill maybe gets activated this week. Maybe that's the move. If Hansen goes on IR, they bring up Hill. So, but Watkins out there, maybe, who knows? I guess we'll see how he looks in practice, and if he's how healthy he is, they could certainly use him.
No, definitely. There's a lot of things that this team could use, and I got on Twitter this week and talked about whether or not they do or don't add a piece. Again, I know we're not an offensive show, but wide receiver seemed to be one of the popular positions everybody thought the Packers could benefit from, and of course, I mean, if it's the right receiver, why wouldn't you, even if the team didn't lose on Sunday? But one of the names that was kicked around, a popular name that had been thrown around and I wasn't a huge fan of, but was Robbie Anderson signed with the Cardinals, so he's taken care of, and DeSean Jackson went to the Ravens. So those are two names that were kind of tossed around, and they've got teams now. And that other receiver that everybody keeps mentioning and that they love to mention, you are going to have a hard time convincing me that he's not going back to the Rams. So I just...
Odell?
Yeah, OBJ.
He can't play it anyway. He's not healthy.
I don't think he wants to come to Green Bay. Of course, right now, he wants somebody to sign him. So everything he's doing on social media with the eyeballs and all that kind of stuff is,
he also wants the more teams. If let's put it this way, if everybody thinks he's going to the Rams and aren't even going to bother talking to him, well then the Rams will get him for whatever the Rams want to get him for.
Right.
If the Rams think, I might go to Green Bay or I might go to Tampa Bay or I might go to wherever. Well, now the Rams got to pony up a little more, right? Because he's That's how things work. I mean, but there was a report, I'm not sure where it came from, that the Packers are going to be actively looking to trade for a wide receiver. And the names, the one name being mentioned a lot is Claypool from Pittsburgh. He's kind of on the outs there because they have the guy the Packers should have is George Pickens. So he's kind of getting more and more reps, and Claypool's kind of being eased out of here a little bit. Another one is DJ Moore from Carolina, because Carolina's looking to trade anybody and everybody, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I got, like you said, we're not here to talk wide receiver. We're here to talk about the defense, which nobody played well against the Jets. That was just, like I said, one of the worst losses in a long time. But and again, I don't want to be an apologist, but the defense, I mean, they really only allowed 14 points. The team allowed 27. Seven came on the blocked punt. So that defense had nothing to do with that. Three came after A.J. Dillon fumbled at the 30 and put him, and they held him to a field goal after Dillon's fumble. So that's 10. And then the other three came late in the game, right, when the Packers went for it on fourth and whatever in their own territory because they had to. So really, the offense and special teams handed them 13 points. So, I mean, if you hold a team to 14 points, you should probably win the game. Now, again, I'm not, the defense had some bad moments. So for 2.5 quarters, the defense played lights out in my mind.
Once again.
But then the last quarter and a half, I think they were on – well, part of it, I think they were on the field too much. I mean, the offense did nothing to help them. And I think – and I also think the defense at that point knew they had to – I think they started trying to – they pressed. I think they were trying to make a big play instead of just making the play, you know, instead of just tackling the guy. They're trying to tackle the – you know, strip the ball. And they're trying to, you know, jump play. They're just, you know, it's – I don't know. But I liked the changes the defense made last week. I wrote a story last week saying what I thought they should do, and they almost did all of it. They blitzed a little bit. Barry hadn't blitzed much at all. Well, he blitzed a little bit. He had Amos coming a couple times. Mm-hmm. He let Jair cover the best receiver, or who he thought was the best receiver, the kid Garrett Wilson, and he basically shut him down.
He did
Wilson
well.
Had one catch for 8 yards, and it came on 3rd and 10. It was like Wilson was not a factor at all in that game. Alexander took him out. I'm hoping he does the same thing this week and puts Alexander on scary Terry McLaren, mm-hmm. who's watching his best receiver.
Right.
And it works the same way, and he takes him out of the game.
Yeah, they've got, I mean, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson are the other two wide receivers. And then
they're good. They're not bad.
Yeah, they're not Antonio Gibson's. Well, he's a running back, actually. He's not a wide receiver. But and then their receiver, Dax Milne, is their kick returner, their punt returner. So they've got some players, but listen.
But McLaren's their guy.
He has
22 catches for 367 yards.
He's the clear number one, and
he's averaging 16 yards a carry. Samuel's a pure possession. Roswell Douglas should be able to take care of Curtis Samuel. He only averages 8.4 yards a catch. He's a possession guy.
Well, listen, I want Joe Barry. You know that you pointed out something to kind of calm everybody down, because everybody's just very alarmist. This fan base gets very alarmist after a loss,
yes.
And we have to remember this team is still 3-3. They're not 1-4, 1-5. So it's a different story. Now, if they don't win this weekend against Washington, then they're going to be a very ugly 3-4, and we're going to be having a very different conversation next week about the future and kind of the air of how we talk about this team. But as far as this week, I guess to your point, you're saying Roswell Douglas should be, I agree with you, but let's not, Joe Barry, please don't overthink it. Just stick with what works. Okay. Just if you know,
and if, Stokes and Dotson, that's a perfect matchup for
Jair.
Stokes.
Yeah. Jair wants to man up. That's fine. Now we had you and I had a very spirited conversation earlier on Wednesday about the defense, and right. I don't think this is a singular culprit, but when Quay Walker was drafted back in the first round, the part of the eyebrows that were raised is the fact that it's a position that's not seen by very many people as premium. It's an off-ball linebacker, although Walker has
Bay, it certainly wasn't.
Right. And he was not either yours or my first choice as far as first round picks and what we wanted the Packers to do, and even realistically. But you kind of also look at it and you give the benefit of the doubt and say, well, maybe they have some plans with using his athleticism in different ways, and he's going to rush the passer, and he's going to make this, you know, keep the defense from having to bring in their nickel or bring in their, you know, bring in another defensive back instead of having him on the field. And he has shown some very good athleticism. We, you know, let's not forget the nice play he made on Justin Fields, a very quick, fast Justin Fields. And then the Packers hold on fourth down and they keep the Bears off the scoreboard. He's also been out of position a lot. And because that's happened, and that's very common for rookies, and that's not something that I didn't know and that I'm unaware of. I completely expected that. I've said many times, this year's Packers team is going, and as fans, we're going to have to be patient, because they're going to have to go through some growing pains, because there's a lot of young players at positions that they haven't had to rely on as heavily before, especially if you look at receiver, for example. I mean, you've got Christian Watson, who can't even get on the field, so I can't imagine how far behind he is in coming along. But even Romeo Dobbs.
Don't even get me started on
Chris. No, I know. And Dobbs, who's been a great. So young players need time to come along, and Quay Walker is one of those. But now this goes back, and you know, maybe I'm being a little, I don't know what the word is, vulture-ish or revisionist by saying, well, look, this is why you don't draft off-ball linebackers. But you look at Devondre Campbell, right? And we kind of argued about his stats, and he's missing tackles. And listen, missed tackles is a mechanical thing. That's a fundamental thing, right? Making tackles, right? And he's already missed more tackles than he did all of last year. And we're only six games into this season. So that's obviously not great. But it would seem to me also that there's something to watch for me is if Campbell is having to either make up for, mentor, babysit, whatever word you want to use, Quay Walker, how much of an impact, if any, might that be having on his play? I don't know the answer. I'm asking it kind of almost rhetorically.
I mean, I know you mentioned that to me. I've seen guys mentor my whole career covering the Eagles. I mean, Troy Vincent mentored Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown. You know, I'm trying to think of others. Seth Joyner mentored William Thomas. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just it's a natural thing when, you know, the veteran established player mentors the young rookie that comes in. I mean, it didn't affect Troy Vincent. It didn't affect, you know, Seth Joyner or Brian Dawkins or any of those guys on the Eagles. And that's all I can speak of because that's the team I covered. And I saw it happening. And it's what good veterans do. They take the rookie under the wing and show them things. Now, I'll say this. Quay Walker, he's the big guy now. I think the people are getting on it. He's made some mistakes. But rookie linebacker, and they're putting a lot on him. They're asking him to do a lot of different things.
Because, he's a starter. Like you said,
he has that athletic ability to do a lot of things. He's only missed one tackle this year. That's pretty good in six games. If you only miss one tackle in six games, that's not bad.
That can't be ignored. You also can't miss tackles that you're not there to make, that you should be.
True. He has been out of position at times. But again, I put that more on coaching. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he should be where he is, but that's something that can be fixed easily. You know, you tell him, you know, you take him out the next play and say, listen, Quay, this is what you got to do. You were supposed to do this, and you read it wrong, and you did that. I mean, and if he still can't pick it up, then maybe you drafted a guy with a low Wunderlich score. I don't know. I don't think he was. I think he's, you know, I don't think Quay Walker is the problem here.
No, he's just one. I mean, there's
now,
a couple.
Again, and he wasn't even the linebacker I wanted. I wanted Devin Lloyd. I loved Devin Lloyd out of last year's draft, and he's actually playing pretty well in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's doing really well. You're going to give some agita to it because his name has been thrown out a bunch in comparison. Well, I mean, the draft happens when
he lasted as long as he did.
Well, the draft happens when it happens, and I'll bet you there's some teams that wish they had Romeo Doubs too. So
exactly. Doubs should not have gone in the fourth round. The Packers give them credit for good scouting and good fortune that they were able to get him in the fourth round. But, you know, that's.
I mean, if he ends up maxing out, he could end up being like another Greg Jennings. And Greg Jennings was very productive in his prime for the Packers.
Oh, yeah. If he's Greg Jennings, that's great.
He was a very good receiver. So
I know. If he can be James Jones, that would be great.
Well, and then you take another stab at it next year. Use another premium pick and pick a big school receiver, please, and bring in another one. I mean, they probably won't because they have Watson.
That's my problem.
Well,
and we're getting away from the defense again, but
I know
they had the chance this year to get a wide receiver. They could have traded for one. They could have moved up and gotten one.
So if
they
had
all the ammunition.
They could have, right? Well, and I mean,
let me ask you this: would you rather have Devontae Wyatt and Christian Watson? Let me say, all right, if this trade proposal came up, it wouldn't, but would you trade Devontae Wyatt and Christian Watson for A.J. Brown and a second round pick?
I would trade them for A.J. Brown straight up.
Exactly. But that's what you could have done. The Eagles gave up a first and a third for A.J. Brown. Now, granted, the Eagles were picking a little bit higher than the Packers. So I'm saying the Packers would have had to give up a first and a second instead of a first and a third. Tennessee would have gladly taken a first and a second. So that means you wouldn't have gotten Devontae Wyatt. And you wouldn't have gotten Christian Watson, but you spent 2 seconds on Watson, so you would have still had your other second. So you still could have got Walker in the first, and you had that, and then in the second, now you got AJ Brown, so you don't need to take a wide receiver in the second, or maybe you do. Maybe you take, I don't know, was Pierce still there? I don't, or you take whatever you want in the second. You take the defensive lineman if you want, because now you didn't get Wyatt. There had to be the tight end that you wish you had gotten. What's that?
Or the tight end that you wish you had gotten.
Well, he went to Arizona in a second. I think he would have been gone by the time the Packers picked in a second. I'm not sure. But anyway, I think, you, like you just said, you would have taken A.J. Brown for those two guys. I'm giving you A.J. Brown and a second-round pick back.
Right.
But again, we're supposed to talk about
the defense. How the Packers what I was going to say about the defense then is the Packers got pushed around on Sunday, and give the Jets some credit. But as far as the front goes, how did you feel about that? Because this wasn't a game where, and I know Kenny Clark, a lot of the work that he does is dirty work. He doesn't always show up on the stat sheet. But how did it seem? I mean, Dean Lowry bats down a pass. Mm-hmm. They did they did get to Wilson ran into a sack. That was so funny when he ran into that sack by Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary almost looked so surprised he was there. He's like, oh, goodbye.
But that was that Reed or Smith that forced that? I forget.
I don't remember.
I think it was Reed,
but it was very nice. But the Packers front, I mean the rotation at pass rush, and Ekpare got his first sack too. Let's talk about that. I mean,
he's
speaking of young players, I don't think he's gonna be he's obviously not gonna be a big contributor this year unless something really turns on in the back half of the season. But I think we'll be pleasantly surprised with him by the end, and that's going to be really helpful because Tipa is hurt long term, and now you've got Jonathan Garvin and Ekpare. Those are your primary backups to Gary and Preston Smith. Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith, just as you've said many times, they just have to stay healthy. If they stay healthy, the Packers have a shot. If they don't, if either of them are out or they're going to miss time, it gets real thin really fast up there.
I'm not sure about you guys, but it still catches me off guard when I walk down the water aisle at the grocery store and see these new tall boys that look like beer chilling out in the middle of the bottled water section. Of course, it's not actually beer. It's Liquid Death, a new mountain spring water from the Alps that's available in still, sparkling, and three unique flavors. But why is it called Liquid Death, you may ask? Well, it's because Liquid Death donates 10% of their profits from every can sold to help kill plastic pollution. Even better is that the use of their aluminum tallboy cans is also helpful, as aluminum is infinitely recyclable and actually profitable for recycling facilities. Friends, bottled water has always been boring to me, but there's absolutely nothing boring about Liquid Death. I love the crisp, refreshing pop of the can when I open it, and the water simply tastes better in a can than it does out of a bottle. Add in their three unique flavors. Personally, I love the lime, and the overall experience is infinitely better than any other water product. Plus, it just looks so much cooler holding a tall boy labeled Liquid Death that looks like you're holding a crisp, refreshing beer. So do me a favor and go get Liquid Death at your local Woodman's, 7-Eleven, Roundy's, or Hy-Vee. Or you can find a Liquid Death retailer near you with their store locator tool at liquiddeath.com/packaday. That's liquiddeath.com/packaday.
Yeah, he's already moved ahead of Garvin. He's the third. I mean,
and Ekpare,
if you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, it's Gary Smith and Ekpare
and Ekpare and then Garvin four. Now. Right.
So he's definitely three.
Yes, correct.
And that was like, I saw him a lot in college because South Carolina games are always featured down here, obviously. He's a pass rusher. I mean, he got pressure at South, playing in the SEC, the best conference in the country. He did okay. Fortunate that he should not have gone in the fifth round. I mean, he they got a break there. He should have gone, I don't know. I thought he would go late third, early fourth. And for him to be there in the middle of the fifth late fifth, actually. That was a pretty good bargain there. And he has flaws to his game. Don't get me wrong. He's not a finished product by any means. But he does have some pass rush ability. And that's all they're asking him to do from what, as right now. Now, eventually, I think the hope is that, he'll take over for Preston Smith one day. Now that day's not today.
No,
but he's young. He's a young player that was nice seeing him get a sack. The Packers got. I mean, again, I thought the defense. I really thought this. Now here's what I thought. During the first five games of the season, well, not the first game, but weeks 2 through 5, the Packers played a good half and a bad half. Right, Tampa they had a good first half, bad second half. Mm-hmm. New England same way. Bears, good first half, bad second. They had a bad first half against the Jets, and it was 3-3. And I'm out watching the game, and I said to whoever I was talking to, I'm like, they got this. That was their bad half, and it's still 3-3. They're going to have a good second half, and they're going to win this game. Jets get the ball. Defense plays 3 and out. Packers get it. I'm like, okay, here we go. This is going to, they're going to go down. They're going to do what they got to do. Well, it never happened. They played two bad halves. And then the defense kind of, which but had played, like I said, played pretty well for 2.5 quarters. And as you pointed out, they started getting pushed around. Now, I think part of that was being on the field a lot. Part of it was, I think, pressing to try to win the game because they saw the offense wasn't going to do anything. And special teams hurt them, you know, gave up. This was bad.
Right.
But my biggest concern with this defense, and I think the biggest problem, and I don't know how you fix this other than just making a play. They faced, let's go over the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, Bailey Zappe.
Tom Brady.
But Bailey Zappe, Daniel Jones, and Zach Wilson. Take Brady out of the mix, and you faced some four really young guys, and Kirk Cousins, who prone to make mistakes at times, right?
Yeah, slightly above average.
They got one interception.
And they're getting pressure.
So what's not the problem.
So what is
one interception's a problem to me.
So what is it? Is it the scheme or is it the playmaking?
I think it's playmaking when it comes to that. I mean, you gotta make a play. I don't care if you're playing zone, man, half zone. Intercept the pass. I mean, break on a ball, guess right, do something.
Right.
One interception in six games against those quarterbacks?
Right.
I don't know.
It's almost like offense is maybe kind of figured out stay away from or don't give Russell so many easy interceptions. And Eric Stokes has not so far to me. He doesn't look bad, but he definitely doesn't look year two for where we were hoping he would be in terms of and especially tracking the ball wise at this point of the season.
Well, that was just and I like Eric Stokes and I like the pick when they made it. His weakness was he's more of a he'll run with you all day. And, you know, he'll that's his strength is his speed and being able to, you know, keep up with guys and do all that. But he didn't have great ball skills. That was the rap on him. And which is why he went a little lower in the first round than some of the other guys that went ahead of him. He didn't have, you know, that was, you know, he's not going to make a lot of interceptions. But Douglas does, Jair does, you know, Savage and Amos have made plays in the past. It's time for somebody to start making some plays. I mean, again, and now they're facing another backup quarterback. I don't know who asked the question to Matt LaFleur this week, but he was asked, would you rather face Carson Wentz than Taylor Heinicke? And LaFleur's answer was very telling when he said, I'll never answer that question.
Right.
So, he can't say, you know,
yeah, I'd rather have the stationary guy who makes a ton of mistakes and we can get to easily versus the guy who runs around.
He can say that to his coaches and
now,
his players.
You know, remember last year, Heinicke kind of got himself because he should have scored a touchdown, but
he fumbled.
He had one where he downed himself right before the goal line, and then they didn't get in.
I think Heinicke is a very good backup quarterback. I really do. I don't think you want to play him 17 games. I don't think you're going to, you know, but I think he's, you know, for a backup quarterback. I mean, listen, there aren't many good backup quarterbacks. So let's be honest, there aren't enough good starting quarterbacks in the league anymore. So, yeah, I would if I was asked that question because I can answer it. Yeah, I'd rather face Carson Wentz because I think he's finished. He makes mistakes. He can't move anymore. He'll put up, you know, bogus numbers if you're for fantasy stuff. But he's killed them several times this year, and he gets sacked because he no longer has that. It's a shame. Injuries ruined him. He tore his knee up the 1 year, and then he hurt his back the next year, and he still thinks he can. That's the problem. Mentally, I think he still thinks he is what he was, and he's not. He can't get away from trouble like he used to.
Yep.
Heinicke can. So the pressure's got to be there, and the pressure could be there because, like I said, this Redskin offensive line is not the best offensive line in the league by any matter. They've allowed 23 sacks in six games. Now, granted, they were all against Wentz, but that's still a lot of sacks. For 140 yards of losses too, so they're not like 2 yard sacks either. They're giving up a lot of yards. Think about that. That's 140 yards that came off of their offense on sacks.
Right.
And that's not to mention how many holding penalties they may have as well. But you know, that's kind of like a sack, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways that you could be productive and
let's look at that Washington offensive line.
Enforcing some of those mistakes. So on the line, I was just looking at it. So on the line, there's a couple familiar names there. Charles Leno Jr. has been in the league forever. He's at left tackle. He's not scaring anybody.
No.
Andrew Norwell at left guard. Tyler Larson is the center. Sadiq Charles is the right guard. And I think Charles was a high draft pick recently, wasn't he?
I thought, or maybe I'm misremembering,
but it seems like he's young.
Fourth round pick out of LSU.
With a questionable designation is the right tackle Sam Cosmi, who's I think is his second or third year.
But I have a backup who's a pretty good guard, Chris Paul.
Okay.
Oh wait, that's a different sport.
That's right.
Good guard.
Chris Paul will be tipping off against the Dallas Mavericks. So by the time you're listening to the show, the game will be over with. But he'll be tipping off against
different Chris Paul, right?
Different Chris Paul. I'll be watching because you know I'm a Suns fan. So
I know.
But listen.
Yeah, Cosmi was he's a second round pick out of Texas last year. It's just his second year.
Right.
And he's probably. Arguably, their best
offensive lineman. Yes,
the best offensive lineman, and he might not play. Did he practice today?
I'd have to check and see. I don't know if there was a designation on him or not.
Because their backup is Cornelius Lucas. He's a veteran. He's in his eighth year, but like you said, he never really made much of him. He's a big boy, 6'8", 327. But I mean, if you're that big and you're still a backup in the league, that tells you a little bit, right?
Right. No, it does. I guess. We talk about the matchups and the players and all that kind of stuff and who's where, but at this point it almost seems like a much more macro conversation where the Packers have just proven that I guess it doesn't matter who the quarterback is or who the offensive line is or who the running back is. The Packers really struggle to consistently stop the run. They play well in stretches, and it's usually the first part of the game, but then there's a quarter or an entire half of the second part of the game that they don't play well.
And that's the problem is that
yes, they on paper they had a good game on Sunday. They only gave up 14 points, but it was an entire quarter's worth of being out there too long, not making plays that ultimately helped the Jets pull away. I mean, the Jets were unfortunately had scored a bunch of points on special teams too, and we haven't even talked about special teams yet. But this is it's just I need to see this defense like play a full game. Scheme it up right, match up right, make good decisions. Don't be aggressive where they need to be aggressive. And for the love of God, like you said, take the ball away. Like, start taking the ball
away. That's what bothers me the most. Of everything that we talk about, one interception against... Now, you know, if they had faced Brady, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, and, well, pick another one, Matthew Stafford, just for lack of a better name. I'd say, okay, well, they faced some pretty good quarterbacks. Those guys don't turn the ball over much. Oh, they faced a guy a fourth-round rookie making his first NFL appearance. And you got to think he's prone to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. They faced Daniel Jones, who that's his biggest weakness with the guys, is that he throws and he does turn the ball over. Kirk Cousins, that's his weakness. He does turn the ball over. Justin Fields, that's the one interception they got was Alexander intercepted Fields. And late in the game, it wasn't like the game was over when he made the interception. You know, Wilson, young guy. You know, you got to come up. I remember, again, I hate bringing up Eagle stuff, but that's, I remember writing a story one time where when Jim Johnson was the Eagles defense coordinator and talked, I did a story based off the stat of like when he faced a quarterback in his second year, a rookie or a second year quarterback. Like their rating was like 47.4 or something. They had 27 interceptions against them and 3 touchdowns. It was stupid how they dominated, young quarterbacks. Young quarterbacks didn't beat Jim Johnson's defense back then. So again, I don't know. You asked me earlier, is it scheme or play? It probably is a little bit of both. Maybe you got to come up with things that confuse young quarterbacks, right? I mean, show them one thing and do something else. I don't know. There's got to be a way for this team to start getting some turnovers.
Right.
Yeah, and they usually come in bunches. Usually it takes one game where you get 3, and then next week you get 2 more, and the next week you get 3 more. And usually that's usually how it happens. You all of a sudden it just kind of happens, and it gets contagious.
And you build
it happened
on
last year.
And
the Packers got defense. I mean, they got turnovers last year.
And you build on it. Well, I'll tell you what, if they're gonna do that, they've got a tough task ahead. Now we're looking way ahead here, but after Washington, they've got the Sunday night game in Buffalo against Josh Allen, one of those quarterbacks you mentioned,
yeah.
And the Bills, who are very good, arguably the best team in the league right now. They just beat the Chiefs. So that it doesn't get this. It's been said, you know, by the time we go on Thursday, all these things have already been talked about. But this was kind of these last two games were kind of the easier. And yeah. The Patriots was kind of the easier stretch of the.
Well, we say that. But the Giants and Jets are a combined 9-3. Maybe they're not as easy as we thought. But again, right. It's not that. They just played bad in both games.
Well, the records.
The Giants and Jets are better than people thought.
Yeah, the now, records lend some. Yeah.
Washington is not better than anybody thought. Actually, they're worse than people thought.
Well, part of that is, too. And I mean, there isn't a ton to ton more to break down here, Mark. So I'll ask you. Obviously, it's the Packers defense versus the Washington offense. And then as far as special teams goes, I guess let's do special teams real quick before we go to this last topic, because it's not as much on the field related, but because it's going to we're talking about one of the reasons why I think Washington is not very good this year as well, besides the fact that their players aren't very good and their defensive coordinator is a meathead. But so on special teams, Amari Rodgers is still out there returning punts.
He has been doing – he's done punts. I don't know. Keyshawn Nixon brought the last kickoff back.
If you trust Nixon with kickoffs, I mean you got to – you know, he's playing a lot of snaps. I guess the thing is if he's the punt returner, he can't do whatever else he does on punt return that he might be good at. Is he a blocker?
Oh, probably.
Then that might be part of the reason why they don't want to just again, Amari Rodgers is still out there. It's really, really interesting. I won't say dumb or befuddling, because the coaching staff has to know something that I don't. Like on the offensive side of the ball, everybody keeps asking, why is Royce Newman out there? Why is Royce Newman out there? Well, after the grades came out, actually, if you look at it, Runyon didn't have a very good game either. And Josh Myers had his issues as well. And Elton Jacobs, the whole offensive line didn't play great. Bakhtiari was okay.
But Bakhtiari did.
He was okay, and that's encouraging. But it's one of those things where it's like, is Bisaccia on special teams? We're seeing a little bit of a regression here. There, or at least if you don't want to call it that, it's very up and down. And I just need to see some more consistency from them, because they're capable and able to do it. And it's not like any of these returners that they went up against are the second coming of Devin Hester or no. David Meggett. Like, come on, like, get consistent and get it done here. Like that can't be this can't continue to be still better defensive coordinator, different players. All these guys that they brought in have a special teams pedigree. This new guy they just brought in last week, special teamer, right? And he's the one that blocked the punt, right?
Eric Wilson. Yeah.
Wilson. Yeah. He's the one that blocked the punt. And I think then he had a penalty on the next a block in the back as well, one of the future plays too. But this can't be the reason why you lose games or your season gets derailed again. Otherwise, it's a complete failure. And I talked a ton at Quick Science about the culture and Matt LaFleur and this. I don't like beating my friends. And I know they're this coach speak.
That's
and
it's dumb. Just, yeah, I can't believe you said that.
It's just coach speak and it's dumb stuff. And it's like, does it mean something? Does it not? I don't know. I don't like hearing it. And I do think the team takes on the persona of your head coach. And then you listen to a guy like Robert Saleh, who's very philosophical in the way he thinks of things. But it's like his mentality, he wasn't bashing on LaFleur. Maybe he was. I don't know. But his mentality is what you want. It's very thoughtful. It's very purposeful. It's very like, hey, no mercy. You talk about like keeping your foot on the throat or keeping your foot on the gas. That's what Saleh's teams do, and that's kind of something I'd like to see more of from the Packers. And as far as special teams, though, just more.
Well, let me point out some special team stats for you. Now, Washington special teams have not been good. They're only averaging 20.9 yards on kickoff returns and 5.2 on punt returns. So that's not a danger. It shouldn't be. And now they've given up. Now again, kickoffs. We'll see. I'm hoping Hill's back, right? I mean, he did practice last week. He's practicing again this week. Let's get him active, right? He's not a bad kick returner when he makes the right decision. Well, Washington's allowing, get this. I'm reading the stats off the Washington stat page. 35.7 yards per kickoff return they're allowing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of yards.
Yep.
So, hey, you know, maybe you can get a kickoff back to midfield or something, right? And they're giving up 8.5 on punt returns, which is like not terrible, but it's not great. So there's a chance. You know what I'm saying? There's a chance that the special teams might be able to do something this week.
You would hope. But the Packers have also had supposed advantages on defense against younger quarterbacks, like you said, and all that kind of stuff. And it's until it's done, it's not done. So that's sad. But Washington, overall, not a great team.
No, right? And they're not good.
Well, I alluded to it a little bit earlier regarding the owner and all this stuff that's going on. And you covered the Eagles for many years. So as far as the culture and the ownership and all this stuff, and there's a lot of things that have come out recently since you're not working for the Eagles or covering the Eagles anymore. But what is your take on all of this, and how much of a factor is this in how bad Washington is? Because the culture ain't fixed. It's not better. And now you've got an owner that supposedly is trying to dig up dirt just so he can keep control of the team.
Yeah, no, I'll say this. And somebody might tell me I'm wrong, and maybe I am, but you asked me, right? Players don't like, and coaches and players, they don't like distractions. They really don't. And this has to be a major distraction.
Huge.
Even though players will tell you, oh, we don't read anything, we don't listen. Yes, they do. They read, they listen, they watch. And it's in the news every day now. Snyder this, that. It's been a mess in Washington. It's something has to give. And yeah, I mean, yeah, players, they, I mean, again, they're, it shouldn't, I mean, Snyder's off the field stuff shouldn't affect, you know, Carson Wentz throwing the ball to Terry McLaurin or, you know, Deron Payne making a play on defense. I mean, there's no direct correlation, but there is in the sense of maybe the team's not practicing right because of all the nonsense going on, right? Maybe Ron Rivera, he hasn't had a good year. I mean, he comes out last week and says, and they ask him, what, you know, how come you, you know, the NFCs, what's the difference between your team? He puts it all away, the quarterback. Then he tried to talk it back the next day, but once it's out there, it's out there. There was no taking that back.
The quarterback. That was the first word out of his mouth.
Yeah. You know, and listen, he's probably right. But coaches don't say that usually, you know? No. Yeah, so they have a lot. There's just drama. It's a drama. It's just too much drama going on there. You know, I never had a situation quite like that with what's going on there, but I had some. Like, there was the year after the Eagles lost the Super Bowl to New England, it was the whole Terrell Owens nonsense. And that really, I mean, that team just fell apart. They went from the Super Bowl to a losing record with basically the same cast of characters, except Terrell Owens being nuts that year and just not wanting to be there. And it kind of just stuff like that. It can tear a team apart a little bit. And I think that's part. Because, I mean, listen, I didn't think Washington was going to go to the Super Bowl this year. But I thought they'd be, you know, they had, like I said, that defensive front's pretty good. They have decent receiver. I mean, they have some. I didn't think they'd be one of the worst teams in the league. And they kind of are. They beat the Bears last week, 12-7. I mean, that was the most unwatchable game maybe ever. That made that Denver game the week before look good.
Right. Well, Washington, I knew they weren't going to be very good this year, but just watching this whole poop storm, and it's almost like the Packers are in a vulnerable position right now where, I mean, do we say must win? I say.
Yes.
Because if they lose, because here's, let me just paint a picture right now, Mark. If they don't win this game, where are you going to be at? Mentally, where are you going to be at on the Packers?
You know what? Then I'm with you. Don't trade for a wide receiver. Don't at the trade deadline, get rid of some guys.
Yeah, trade guys. You're a seller, not a buyer.
Yeah, because if you can't be what, all right. Like I said, Jets and Giants losses, bad losses. They were touchdown favorites, or more than touchdown against the Giants, I think. Bad losses, but maybe those teams are better than everybody thinks. I don't. I'll give that. They still should have won both games, but I'll give. No, I know Washington isn't good. I know Washington's not going to win more than a handful of games this year. They're going to be picking very high next year. Well, if the Packers lose to them, guess what I'm going to start doing? Looking at next year's draft.
Yeah. And you're not alone.
I mean, if they lose to Washington, then who are they going to beat?
Yeah, you're not alone. And, no, you're
my God, the Buffalo. If they lose to Washington, that Buffalo game could be really, really. That could be a disaster.
Yeah.
And then they got some other tough ones too. They got the Eagles. They got the Cowboys. Who am I forgetting? It's pretty good on there on the schedule. Miami's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, if you lose to Washington, I guess you'll beat the Bears again.
Yeah, that's it's going to get difficult. They've got some tough. I mean, they still play the Vikings at Lambeau, but Minnesota's now fighting to win the division.
They're two games up,
and they're two games up.
Two and a half, really, because they beat the Packers.
You still have to go to Detroit. I don't care what their record is. It's at Detroit is always a tough game for the Packers. You still have to play at Chicago.
They got the Rams.
Yep, they play the Rams. They're at Philly.
Yeah.
The Eagles.
So this is a
must-win game.
Must-win game.
So
I hate to use that term, but it is. Because if they lose it, like I said, I'm selling it to deadline. I'm calling around to see if anybody wants.
Oh, no, it's bad.
Robert Tonyan or I don't know. If they go to 3-4 with what they've played so far and what they have coming up, they're not going anywhere this year. I mean, if they win, it doesn't guarantee them they're going anywhere, but at least they'll be 4-3. They got to win. You know, you're pointing yourself in the right direction.
Right.
A loss this week, and like I said, I'll start looking up, you know, I'll start calling my buddy Mel Kiper and see what's up.
Yeah. So how's this one shake out for you?
I think they win. I mean, I'm too optimistic. Low scoring game because I don't see the offense putting it all together quite yet. But I don't see Washington scoring a lot of points either. I'm going to go with Green Bay 16, Washington 10.
Ugly. One of those kind of ugly scores.
Yeah. And I'm probably wrong. It's probably going to be in the 30s, but I'm going to say six. I'm going to go six. And my star of the game, let me go with Preston Smith going against his old team for the first time.
Yeah. Well, you would think one of those pass rushers should be it because the Washington offensive line is going to give him opportunities to.
And they'll probably double Gary Moore, so yeah. Preston will get the single coverage.
So then he gets home. Well, I have this rule that if the Packers play ugly and lose two in a row, I can't pick them the third week in a row. So no? Obviously, I wouldn't bet this way if I was putting money on the game. But I have to stick with tradition. So, and I'm not trolling here. This is go prove me wrong, but staying true to form, I gotta go with Washington 21-20.
21-20.
Yeah. I mean, what difference does the score make if the pick is nonsensical? But Look, that's the way it goes. I said I can't pick the Packers after what I've saw these past 2 weeks. Like Matt LaFleur, show me that your team has some moxie and some metal because I'm not seeing it and I'm not hearing it from you either. And now your quarterback, you and the quarterback, do you or do you not agree offensively? You can tell me you do on game day, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes, so you got a lot to figure out there. Defensively, take the ball away. Special teams, don't give up points, and then you won't have to worry about me making nonsensical picks on the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast. So I'll say 21-20 Washington, but in my heart, I hope to God and don't think that that's how it's actually going to play out. But I have to stay true to my process. So,
See. We'll find out. And if you're right, I hope you're wrong, but we'll see.
Well,
right.
You alluded to something interesting coming up at Packer Report. That's coming up. And then, yeah, what's coming up soon and what's up now?
Well, the analysis is up as always after post game analysis. But coming later today, or maybe depending what time you're listening to us. I kind of read. I know some people aren't gonna like it, I don't care, but read it. I go back to this off season and I say, you know, the Packers have problems right now, but it all started in the off season. And my premise is, once they decided to bring Aaron Rodgers back, once that decision was made that he's coming back, and if you remember, we didn't know, right? All off beginning of off season, is he coming back? Are they trading him? Or is he retiring? What's going on? Once they decided to bring him back and pay him that money, they needed to go. They needed to say, okay, we got to win now, right? You got a 38-year-old quarterback. You're not thinking about the future. You got to win now. And they had the ammunition. This goes back to what we were talking about the draft, and that's why I mentioned that A.J. Brown thing to you. They had to, you know, they traded Devontae. Okay, I understood that trade. I actually wrote about it before it happened, that, you know, if he doesn't want to be here and he wants to go play with Carr, trade him to the Raiders. They got quality back. They got a first and a second-round pick for – a very good wide receiver, but they got a first and second. They had, this was their chance to make a splash in the draft. Two firsts, two seconds, a third, fourth, everything else. They had a chance to make a splash. They didn't. Their splash was trading both seconds for a guy that's obviously not ready to play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's not ready. Now, as I say in the story, I'm not I'm the least of a Christian Watson fan. Didn't want him that night. Still don't want him, but he's here. I hope I'm wrong. I keep saying I'm dying to write the story that says, man, I was wrong about this guy. He's really good. It ain't going to happen this year. I'm not writing that story this year because he's nothing. He can't stay on the field. And when he's on the field, you wish he wasn't. So instead of, they had the opportunity to trade for an A.J. Brown, to trade up and get one of the top receivers. They had a chance to do a lot of things, and they didn't. And they didn't put it – they didn't go – they brought back Rodgers, and they acted like they got rid of him and we're going with Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's that's going to be interesting. That's going to be a good read.
I said, some people weren't going to like it. Cause I kind of defend Rodgers a little bit. I know, and I said, listen, he hasn't played like the MVP. But and people are talking about he can't throw long anymore. I mean, he looked pretty – the pass to Christian Watson to start the season looked like a pretty good long pass. And the pass to Dobbs in the end zone against New England looked like a pretty good pass. They didn't catch him.
Right.
They have 12 drops this year.
Yeah.
Packer receivers. 12 in six games.
Yep.
That's a lot. And a lot of them came at key times. Their downs, two touchdowns. So, I mean, yeah, is Rodgers playing great? No. But he's not, take away the – add those 12 completions and add those two touchdowns of 75 and 40 yards, those numbers look a lot better.
Right. Well, you don't ever not want Rodgers under center, but he hasn't had the time. The offensive line hasn't really helped out much. You've seen the drops. I talked about that, the growing pains with young players. They're going to have those lights are bright moments where they just drop a ball. Unfortunately, some of them have come at critical times and have probably cost the Packers a couple games already. And there's going to be more to come. I mean, there's going to be more of that. And
right.
then the other thing too is what you said and what my tweet was about earlier this week was it's a philosophical thing. It's you committed to Aaron Rodgers. How committed is he and how good can he actually be? There's a lot of things. I mean, Rodgers needs help to be good now. He can't just run and create. I mean, he had a chance to run at one point on Sunday.
Yep.
And he could have easily picked up 4 or 5 yards. And instead, he throws incomplete to Dobbs, who I think was double covered. Like, it was just the most baffling. It was the most baffling throw since Brett Favre ended the NFC Championship game for the Vikings in 2009. Like, just I don't know what.
Well,
what
no, was, I still think the one against Tampa Bay 2 years ago. I think he could have run. I don't know if he would have gotten the end zone, but I think he would have got to the 1 or 2.
I thought so too. Watching the replay, I don't think he would have gotten in. But
no,
but
he
that's
got to the 1 or 2, and they probably would have. And they could have gone for it on fourth instead of kicking the field goal.
So many things are different now. So that's there's this is going to be. It may not be the most fun if the Packers don't win a bunch of games, but it is not going to lack any intrigue because it's just so different from what we're used to. And the Packers have already equaled their loss totals from the past, three seasons, except for last year when they lost 4 games and they played 17.
Well, they lost 4, but the last one they didn't care about.
Yeah, exactly. So, the chance that them only losing 3 games this season is not happening. So, it's going to be an intriguing
season. That'd be nice. But no.
Yeah, it's going to be an intriguing season regardless. But thanks, everybody, for listening and following along with the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast. We will be back again next week as scheduled to break down what happened against Washington, talk about what's coming up with a very tough road game, Sunday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. Hope everybody's having a good week so far. Enjoy your weekend. As always, stay safe wherever you're at, and go Pack, go.